This is Pastor Brad Gray. I want to thank you for tuning in today. I'm doing a restart of my message yesterday. I had a microphone problem at church. I forgot to turn it on. So I'm going to preach the first part of this message and add it to the sermon so you'll have the scripture and kind of some context. We're continuing our study on the topic of the inner witness. This is part three. If you haven't listened to the others, you can check them out at rlfwc.com. And I want to ask today, have you ever thought about the Holy Spirit as a person? You know, I think most people only think of him as a power or a thing. And when we do this, we miss out on developing a personal relationship with him. Now, what happened here in the passage of scripture we're going to be looking at is that Jesus dropped a bomb on his followers. And he said that it was better that he leaves. He said he was going to ask the Father to send an invisible person to take his place. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I'm sure it just kind of floored his followers, because here Jesus, who had been with them physically, you know, for over 3.5 years, teaching them and training them and the things that they need to know, all of a sudden he said he was going to leave, and to take his place was going to be this invisible spirit, and Jesus said that's going to be better. Now, if anybody other than Jesus Christ himself would have said that, they'd think they're crazy. But Jesus did say it, so it must be true. And it's to your and my advantage that he did go away. Now, remember the reason why I'm doing this series talking about the inner witness, which we know is talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, we're living in the last of the last days, perhaps, in which all the different misinformation and things going around the world today through the news outlets and things, and as well as the way the enemy tries to influence our culture. You know, remember, Satan doesn't show up with a pitchfork and, you know, his horns so we can recognize him. He's really an angel of light, and he can come and bring deception. So that's why you and I as believers need to get to know the inner witness, which is the Holy Spirit, so we can be led and guided into all truth that we need to know, and so we won't go astray and get into trouble and the things that try to lead us that way. Okay, the passage of scripture we're going to look at today is found in John chapter 16, verse 7 to 14. John chapter 16, verse 7 to 14, it says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine, and I will disclose it to you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the anointing of God. We thank you, Lord, that you're leading us and guiding us in all truth. Right now, Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we bind Satan from stealing the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form, in Jesus' name. Okay. The first point I want to look at today is talking about the helper or counselor. Many translations, you know, use different kind of word there for the Greek word parakletos. It actually is talking about a legal assistant, somebody to plead our case. But I don't know about you, but how many of us ever need a good lawyer every now and then? I think we all do. And really, that's kind of what this is talking about, is the idea of the Holy Spirit being somebody that can really help us out when we're in a time of need. Now, if you look at the Amplified Translation, you know, that word helper or counselor or advocate, there's several words that it uses. It actually uses counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. And really, those points are very important for us to kind of explore, and we're going to look at some of them right now as we try to dive deeper in really what God has for us. Because, you know, I think that if we get to know the Holy Spirit in a personal way, it's going to lead us to the place we need to be. Now, I've shared this testimony before, and I don't want to make it sound really weird, but when I was coming to Christ, and I had come to Christ, and I started Bible school, I was probably had about a year of Bible school under my belt, not quite. And when I got saved, I decided to stop dating because in the world, I didn't date right, if you know what I mean. I didn't treat women with the kind of respect and things like that they needed. I kind of had a worldly view on that. So what I did is I kind of pulled back, and I just wanted to get to know God. Well, after that process of time, I felt, well, you know, I'm kind of to the place where I feel kind of secure in my walk with God, and I was kind of feeling like I needed a relationship or something more in my life instead of just being alone. So, you know, I prayed to God. You know, I said, God, you know, I think I'm ready to start dating and, you know, try to maybe, you know, find a girlfriend, which hopefully will lead to a wife. Well, lo and behold, the next day, literally at Bible school, we started a new series talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And what really floored me as I sat there, I still remember where I was sitting in that classroom, looking up at the instructor when he was talking. And what he said, many of the things that I was looking for in a relationship so I wouldn't feel alone could be found by getting a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know the Holy Spirit can't replace a wife and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. But for where I was right then in my walk with God, you know, God revealed to me that I wasn't where I needed to be yet. I need to get a little bit closer. And that closeness came by starting to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit and start to understand how He works in my life, because the Holy Spirit is a person. And, you know, we need to get to know Him. Now, this is where we're going to cut in to the regular service right now, because this is where I finally remembered to turn my microphone on. So God bless you. I hope you enjoy this. Too many technology things for me to plug in up here. There we go. Now we're all messed up. All right, here we go. I'm going to start all over. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Oh, too many things. Sorry, guys. Okay. So, back to where that's talking. I thought it was awful quiet in here there for a minute. Couldn't hear myself preach. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be our personal friend. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He is personal to each and every one of us. And that is kind of something that we need to develop in our relationship with Him. And what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit can be personal to you just as much as into me. Have you ever had somebody that can only handle one or two friends in their life? You know, and after that, they just kicked everybody else to the curb? You know, the Holy Spirit's not like that. The Holy Spirit can be just as intimate and have a good friendship with each and every one of us as much as it does, you know, to anybody else in the world. The Bible says He's also a wonderful teacher. You know, when you sit down to read the Bible, sometimes, you know, that book is kind of thick. I don't know if you have the full version. You know, some people just get the New Testament. Some people just stick with the Gospel of John. But if you get the whole Bible, that thing is thick. It has a lot of stuff in there. And it's kind of hard to unravel some of that stuff, especially starting out. And I know that when I sit down to study the Bible, I say, Holy Spirit, You're the teacher. Reveal to me the things that I need to know. Help me to understand what the Scripture's saying to me and how I need to respond to that. The Bible also says that He's a comforter, you know, one who's called alongside to help, one who is a real companion, and He's our guide. Something that's kind of interesting, maybe you didn't know, but in Hebrews chapter 7:25, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. I don't know about you, but, you know, have you ever felt like nobody's praying for you sometimes? Well, the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. He's always bringing you and bringing your name up before the Father. It says also that He's a strengthener, one to strengthen us when we feel weak by giving us strength, courage, and grace. We all need these things, especially in times of trouble. And lastly, like we talked about, the idea of being an advocate to plead our case to before God, and because the devil comes around and he's a deceiver. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's going to try to lie and malign our names and put discredit upon us. But see, the Holy Spirit is going to plead your case, and we need that. You know, the Bible says there that He's come to convict us. Now, some people don't like to be convicted. I wouldn't want to be convicted of a crime. But this word convict is talking about, it's a different word than condemn. See, the Holy Spirit will never condemn you. He will never, you know, condemn you to the place where there's no hope for you. But He will convict us in our life, and He'll bring to light the things that need to be dealt with. and we need to come to him and allow him to work. Because remember, it's a legal term. A lawyer, a good lawyer, what his goal is he wants to expose the facts, right? We want somebody that can expose the facts. Now, each of us have issues, and we talked about this last week in the message a little bit about light and how, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in, and this kind of, you know, reiterates that a little bit more. It comes in and tells us about how he's wanting to expose the facts, and he's wanting to convince us of the truth. Sometimes we need to be convinced, because faith is difficult sometimes, because you got to believe in something you can't see. Now, here's some three things that the Holy Spirit said he does. He does other things, but these three things that he talks about in this passage right here in John 16. You know, he convicts us concerning sin. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll be honest, some sin is fun, right? We've all sinned before. Maybe we still do a little bit. I think we all do. But the biggest sin in life is our failure to believe in Jesus. And there's one other. You know, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you know, that one there, the Bible says you can't get set free from that. And I don't think anybody here in their right mind would want to do that. But that just tells me how important the Holy Spirit is. But for the most part, the only sin that is holding us back in life is not believing in Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. But the sin, just the blood of Jesus can take care of all those things. The only thing that is holding us back is our failure to go to him and to lay our life down and to trust him. And he can deal with anything else in our life. The next part, it talks about the Holy Spirit's concerning righteousness. Now, righteousness means right standing. And we all need to have right standing with God. And that only happened through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus went to the cross. Only unrighteous people were crucified. Criminals. People like this who come against the government and stuff, or Rome back at the day. And so they would crucify these people. So only unrighteous people went there. But Jesus was righteous, but yet he went on our behalf. And bends his righteousness, he had right standing with God. The power of God rose him up from the dead. And through that righteousness, we can have, you know, the freedom that Jesus Christ came to give. The last thing it says here the Holy Spirit does also is judgment. You know, concerning judgment, it's talking about the devil. See, if we're a Christian, we've already been judged. And see, what happens here is that Satan, who had the power of death, because, you know, Adam handed over the keys to death when he sold out, but Jesus Christ came and he defeated Satan and he took the power of death away from him, so that you and I, if we put our trust in him, we can have life now. We can get a life sentence instead of a death sentence. And that's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. Now, one thing, just kidding around here a little bit, and don't take this seriously, but something about the Holy Spirit, you know, somebody whose first name is Holy, I don't know about you, but that kind of is unnerving a little bit. You know, if you know what holiness is. But, you know, I know, in my opinion, our goal should be not to grieve him. And the scripture says that. We don't want to grieve him. We will. We'll make some mistakes along the way. But our personal intent should not be to want to grieve him. You know, we need to be conscious of his fellowship. Many times I'm not saying I feel the Holy Spirit all the time. I really, be honest, when I come up to try to set up the technology, I just felt the Spirit of God really strong when I was getting ready to come up here and preach today. And it was kind of unnerving a little bit. I just felt a sense of holiness. And maybe that's why I forgot to turn my microphone on. You know what I mean? I don't know, I just got out of sorts there for a little bit. You know, but I regained after a while. But see, one way that we have the fellowship with the Holy Spirit is through prayer. You know, sitting down to pray and being close to God, and it enhances our prayer life. It brings us in that close connection that we need with God. You know, I think of the Holy Spirit, if we think of the Holy Spirit as a power, we will try to get a hold of it. But if we think of the Holy Spirit as a person, we will let him get a hold of us. And that's what we need to do. We shouldn't be seeking the power. We need to be seeking the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next point we're going to look at here is the idea of can't handle the truth, you know, yet, right? You know, remember the old movie, Tom Cruise and them, and they were getting the general, he kind of flipped out. He's down there in Cuba, and he says, "You can't handle the truth." Well, that's kind of not, Jesus didn't say it that way, but he did tell his followers, that, hey, you know, you can't handle everything I need to tell you right now. See, Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. Jesus was getting ready to leave his followers behind. And he was going back to the Father where he had originated from. And they weren't ready yet. But he sent a helper, the Holy Spirit. And that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to bring us along to the place that we need to be. Now, some other things, you know, I don't know, they weren't ready to receive it. You know, have you ever heard somebody tell you, I'm doing this for your own good? Or like what Monk says, I don't know if you ever watch Monk, he always says, you'll thank me later. You know, but you know, they couldn't understand why it was better that Jesus could leave. How could that be a better thing? So I believe the disciples was sort of an emotional wreck, because like I said, they put all their eggs in the Jesus basket. They had left everything to follow him, and now he said, I'm going to go away, but it's okay. It's better that I go. It's to your advantage that I send this invisible person to take my place. I don't know if you ever tried to follow an invisible person before, but it takes a little bit of sensitivity, doesn't it? You know, it'd be so much easier to follow somebody you could touch, but we need to follow somebody and let him touch us. Let him touch us and get us to the place we need to be. Now, they couldn't fathom why Jesus had to die. It was just, you know, they were starting to feel like an orphan. You know, that orphan spirit that, you know, some people deal with. You know, some people are really born an orphan, and that's a tough thing, knowing that maybe your parents gave you up. Maybe it was for a good reason. But it's very difficult to understand, you know, why, you know, why would you leave me? Why am I here all alone in this world? And I believe some people feel like spiritual orphans. You know, they just feel like they're down here and they just don't have the connection with God that they want. They don't really understand. And that's kind of where I was when I first started out. I knew there was something out there. I knew there was a God there somewhere. I prayed to him every night, but I just couldn't connect. I just felt all alone. I felt like I needed him in my life, but you know, I wasn't, you know, understanding how to get there, and it was very, very difficult. Now, the thing also about the disciples, they weren't born again yet. They hadn't, you know, been converted, and that made it a little more difficult about the Holy Spirit. See, they needed to come to know him, and about that, Jesus says that you can't bear them now. I really believe that there is revelation in God that you and I need to grow into. See, if God would have told me everything the first day I got saved, you know, I may not have went on. If he told me that I would be doing this or doing that, or, you know, getting rid of this and getting rid of that, you know, I may not have. But he took me where I was at a baby. I was a baby Christian, you know. And then I just accepted just the face value of understanding a relationship with God. And then through the process, and the process is important, is that you start to develop that relationship and you start to pay attention a little bit more. You know what I mean? And you start to grow and you start to understand the things. And then we start to get to the place where God wants us to be. Like I said last week, spiritual maturity is not an age, but it's a place. It's not based on how many times you attend church or how many times you read the Bible. To me, it's based on the place where, how much importance do we put on coming to know God or wanting to grow in Christ and to be able to get to know him in a better way. It's because he can change us. He can bring us to the place that he wants us to be. See, the apostles, they weren't ignorant about the Holy Spirit totally. Because remember, Jesus sent them out as the 12 and the 70? The Spirit of God would come upon them and they would heal people. They would cast out demons. They did all these things. So they knew about the Holy Spirit, but the difference was there's a Spirit within and the Spirit that come upon. And see, they had the Spirit that came upon them, but then when the service was done, it was over. The Holy Spirit wasn't there for them anymore. But when the Spirit is within, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be with us every step of the way. And we just need to learn how to get close to him, because, and then we can understand that. You know, it's hard to understand that why Jesus was better. Like I said, if Jesus, you know, was standing here today and you had an option, would you like to walk with Jesus or would you like to walk with this invisible person? Most people would say Jesus. Why? Because we can touch him. You know, I don't know if he spoke English, but he could if he wanted to, but we could understand him, you know what I'm saying? We have to learn a little Hebrew and, you know, things like that, or Aramaic, you know, but it'd be worth it just to get to know him and understand him. But
we'd all be fighting over him, wouldn't we? I mean, I think all of us would want to. I mean, if I said, here's Jesus, you want to get to know him, everybody'd jump out of their chair. You know, some people might even get out of bed. You know what I mean? Start coming to church because I want to see Jesus. You know what I mean? And, you know, they would just want to get there. But, you know, there's only so many can get close to Jesus in that physical body. That's why he said it's your advantage. Because it's invisible Jesus, and that's what the Holy Spirit is. Jesus said, I'm sending somebody just like me to lead you to the place you need to be. Now, this invisible Jesus, called the inner witness or the Holy Spirit or the helper or the comforter, he can be with everybody around the world at the same time. I don't know how he does it. I just got to accept it by faith. Amen. How can God hear all our prayers at once? You know, if you think about it, you'll talk yourself out of Christianity. Some of the stuff, you know, you have to take it by faith. And just trust it and believe it. And believe that God is working in your life. And he wants to do so many things. He wants to get close to us. And the thing that we kind of scares us sometimes is that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he wants to shed light in our situation. He wants to expose the things in our life that we need to deal with. Like I said, that lawyer that wants to expose truth in our life. Those things that he wants to do, it's not that he wants us not to have fun. It's the fact that he doesn't want us to be hindered and hurt by the things of this world that hold us back from getting close proximity with God. We serve a holy God. We don't have to be perfect to come to him, but we need to be walking towards perfection. We need to be growing in Christ and coming to the place that he wants us to be. And it's such an awesome relationship because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will never lie to you. One thing that I hate in my life, I don't know about you, but I hate it when somebody lies to me. I can take a lot of stuff, but you lie to me, oh, that just burns my britches. You know what I'm saying? Just gets me mad. You know, I have to get over it. You know, I'm a Christian. But the Holy Spirit will never lie to you. He will never lie to you. He always brings you to truth. And that's the last point I want to look at is the idea is how we each need a spiritual guide. I don't know about you, but it's good to be guided through things. You know, I want to talk about the idea, the difference between a travel agent and a tour guide. I know that sounds kind of weird, but a travel agent and a tour guide. See, when Denise and I got married on that blessed day, we had a plan before that. We wanted to go on a honeymoon. You know, a lot of people like to go on a honeymoon. And, you know, we kind of wanted to go out of the country, so we went to Mexico. And I had been to Mexico before in my life. You know, we went again after that on a mission trip. But so what we did is we went to the travel agent because the travel agent is an expert, right? And the travel agent knows where to go. So we, you know, they told us about some places, and it was kind of cool. Now, you can go to Mexico in a lot of different resorts, you know, and have a really good time. But the travel agent knew some things. They said, well, you're going in October. We got married in October. Can't remember the day right now, but it was a good day. It was on a Saturday. Yeah, that was it. Well, I got married on a Saturday. But, you know, the travel agent said, hey, that time of year, there's a lot of storms and tropical storms down in the ocean. And so it's better to go to the west side of Mexico than it is the east side of Mexico. You run less of a risk of having something destroy your trip. Okay, so we chose Puerto Vallarta. That's on the west side. See, the travel agent knew. They knew some things that we didn't know. And see, I think the Holy Spirit can be our travel agent also. But what I see about the Holy Spirit, he's more than just the travel agent for us. He wants to be our tour guide. And that's very important. Because once you land, once you get to your destination, you know, sometimes you want to go see some good things. Well, if you really don't know where you're going, a tour guide comes in handy. And on our honeymoon, we went on this jungle trip and all that and did some really good things, and that was a lot of fun. So we had a really good time. But, you know, that importance of knowing that. See, all the other religions, you know, in this world, to me, are somewhat like a travel agent. They'll tell you where to go, but they don't have the tour guide that we have. Because only Christianity has the Holy Ghost, has the Holy Spirit working in our life. I remember one time, and I've shared this before, I went on a mission trip, and I used to go to Greece quite frequently. And when I was there one time, I ran into these young Egyptian boys, and we struck up a friendship there on the street, and they told me about the persecution that the Muslims were doing against them down in Egypt. So I said, well, tell you what, I'd like to come down there. So the next summer, I went down there, and I met them in a roundabout way. Well, I booked my flight, and I went there, or I didn't go there because I checked on it, and they canceled my flight. You know, those things happen, don't they? Well, don't sound so bad if you're here in the United States, but I was heading to Egypt. And so he went to the airport, no plane, so he went home. I came in about 3 or 4 hours later, nobody there to greet me. And not all of them speak of the English, if you know what I'm saying. You know, and I don't speak any Arabic. All I had on my possession was a letter from him with the return address written in Arabic. Have you ever seen all those squiggly lines? But that's how I found him later. But before that, though, when I landed at the airport, you know, we had to go through customs, and I had some gospel tracts on me written in, you know, Arabic. And they would have been confiscated, or maybe I would have been in trouble as I go through customs, you know. I wasn't aware they were really going to tear everything apart like they did. So I was standing there, and all of a sudden, this guy come up to me and says, where do you want to go? And I showed him my little letter, and he said, would you like to see the pyramids? I said, sure. Now, he did speak English. Well, here's all the people that I'd met on the plane. They're going through customs. They're tearing their bags open. They're looking at everything in those bags. This tour guide, he was buddies with the custom agents. He grabbed my suitcase, walked me right through. I never had to open one bag. That was the Holy Ghost leading him. Amen. You know, I was able to get through there, and make a long story short, I went and seen the pyramids, rode a camel, did all that fun stuff, and then I went and hopped on a train, just kept showing people that address, and I finally made it to this guy's house. And, you know, it was quite an ordeal. As I look back, it was crazy. With today's, you know, I don't know, with all the terrorist situations going on, I would have had a target on me, but back then it wasn't so bad. I did have to check in with the police station there, but that wasn't that big a deal. So the tour guide and how important it is. See, I believe everybody is looking for a spiritual guide in their life, you know, but if we don't come to the real Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I believe we can fall victim to demonic spirits and that angel of light that comes in to lead us, you know, down the wrong way. And that's why we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to come and be discipled and let the Word of God get in your life. And so you can start to differentiate things in the Bible and just learn about how God works and what He wants to do. Now, the word guide means to lead the way, and that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, I believe that every day we need to pray and give Him permission to lead and guide our life. I do that for myself, and I've been saved a long time. And I know quite a bit of the Bible. And to be honest, I could probably hum a few bars and fake it and not even ask for help because I've been around a while. But I would never make that mistake. I know too much about what God says in His Word. So every day I pray, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me today. You know, I know there's times that I don't feel Him, but I know that He's working. You know, I remember, you know, just looking back and some days, just recently, ever since this COVID thing, you know, just God brought some things to remembrance. But, you know, there are days that, you know, some things take place that I look back and that's a God thing. It's a God thing. God did that. But see, what really helped is the fact that that day, I had asked for help. I had asked for the leading of the Holy Spirit to put me in positions for maybe prosperity and blessing in my life, in the life of my family, in the places where I need protection for my wife and myself and my kids and our family. I pray that every day. I ask the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And see, it's important that we do that because, you know, Jesus, you know, was leading them disciples for 3 years, and then He was leaving, and He knew that He didn't want to leave them lost. I don't like that feeling of lost. It's tough. I hate it. You know, the reason we get lost, I believe, is sometimes we refuse to follow the guide. But when I was living in Denver, and some of you have heard this story before, but, you know, I wanted to meet people because, you know, you just move out there and don't know a lot of people. And, you know, mountain climbing sounded fun. It's yippee, you know, go up and climb down a mountain and climb up a mountain and rappel down on a rope. But one of the things I had to do was take an orienteering class. And what that meant is that you had to learn to read those little maps, that how those squiggly lines that go around. I still don't understand them. So I was kind of, just kind of out there on my own. We had a few people, but if you read that map right, you can tell if you're going downhill or uphill. That sounds kind of ridiculous, but if you're trying to plot your course, how many'd rather go downhill than uphill sometimes? Amen. I don't know, I did. But what they did is that they told us, they drove us out into the mountains and they dropped us off, about four or five of us. And we had some guides with us, so it wasn't like it was a suicide mission, but we had our map and we had our compass. And they told us what one of the mountains' names was. So then we could locate our way. It was the most miserable day of my life. I didn't like it at all, but I had to do it to pass the class. Walking around out there, crossing streams, getting wet. I mean, everybody said, oh, the mountains are so pretty. Well, yeah, they're pretty if you got a car close, and you know how to get home. But if I had no clue. Maybe we have to walk to Denver. I mean, we were up there a ways. It was good that we had a guide, because every now and then we might have made the wrong decision. But we need that. And I don't know about you. I was thinking about this when I was putting this together. How many parents don't want their kids to make bad choices? Wouldn't it be cool if God would give us a superpower where we could get into their heads and speak to them when they're making a choice? I know the kids would say, no, I don't want that. I want to make my own choices. But see, that's kind of how the Holy Spirit is. I bet Jesus, would not have liked it if he had to leave and the Holy Spirit wasn't going to come. Christianity would have been destroyed if they left it just up to people. But see, that's why the Holy Spirit comes, and that's why we need to get to know him. And he won't force you to follow him for the most part. He's a gentleman. He waits to be invited. And he will lead us to the way by guiding us into truth. And the truth will set you free. That's where we need to get in our life. What I believe is the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God a sharp, two-edged sword. We looked at that last week in Hebrews 4:12. But it's the power and the anointing on the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's important that you and I start to develop it. It's going to take a little bit of time. There's going to be some trial and error. I know I've missed it trying to hear the Spirit of God's voice. And I learned from that. But I will say this. When I know that I know that I know that I know when the Spirit of God is speaking to me. When I know it's really God, I can feel that impression. I know it's Him. And I know I can trust that. Now, sometimes I'm out there and I may not know for sure. So you just keep praying and asking God to guide us. Because what happens is that you and I make the mistake of seeking comfort when we should be seeking the Comforter. And that's where we need to get in our life. Don't take the easy path all the time. Sometimes God will lead us through places where we can be tested, so that the things in our life that need to be let go of will fall away and be exposed by the light of God. And it all comes by that hunger. And maybe you've never had that hunger yet. Maybe you need to ask God to give you that hunger, that you want to get to know the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was given to the church, to the Christians, to lead us and guide us. It's not just that you come here and, I can tell this story now. a while back we had somebody, kind of check out the church. And then they started complaining about their pastor. He was an older gentleman. And he said, or they said that, I'm not going to tell if it's a boy or a girl. They said that, the pastor come and told, their children that they were supposed to go out and evangelize the young people in their community. And the person said, that's what we pay the pastor for. And I knew, she's not going to like this service. But God orchestrated that. Because what did I preach on that day? How it's our responsibility as Christians, not just the pastors, to go out and reach the lost in their community. But God set that up to lead that person here. They needed to hear that. They haven't been back. Hopefully they went back to their church and understood to support that church and get involved. Amen. And go out and reach people in their community, because they came from a different town. And, but that's what we need to do. And I could see these Holy Ghost setups, and the things how the Holy Spirit leads. So it's just awesome. But in closing, I just want us to always acknowledge that God wants to get to know us and to know the inner witness. And we need to acknowledge that presence in our life, because he's there. He's just behind the scenes sometimes, waiting for us to open up to him and to develop that relationship. And it comes by wanting to get close to him and maybe pulling away from the world. Let's pray.